Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits, episode 65. I'm Marlis.
I'm Judy.
And I'm John.
And today, we are going to be tasting some of the first of my loot that I brought back from Scotland. We're calling this episode Wee Small Bottles Episode 1.
Apparently, we're having three such episodes.
Yes, we are. Well, maybe four. Anyway.
Well, you're right. Four.
Yep. So, I basically packed very carefully and with great economy on this trip, with the result that I couldn't bring back large bottles, which was a mistake, perhaps. But here we are. So, who wants to do the first one? Anyone?
Bueller.
Volunteers.
Bueller.
Uh-huh.
I'll go.
Okay.
This is Judy. I feel like I'm on a Zoom call. This is Judy. First, we have Glen Campbell.
Not the country singer.
Clank. I don't have my glasses on, so yeah. I was looking at the wee bottle, and I saw Glen. Sorry.
Is this a reliving of the famous goose?
Famous goose. Glen Campbell has some famous goose. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Apparently now you have to listen to all of our podcasts to figure out what the heck we're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, Clan Campbell. it has this vague thing at the top. This is...
Yeah. Oh, Inverary Castle. I was at Inverary Castle, which is the seat of Clan Campbell,
mm-hmm.
Home of the Duke of Argyle. And I got that in the little store. So it actually, I don't think, has anything to do with Inverary Castle. But Inverary Castle is very pretty.
That's where she was. That's where you were.
So
right?
That's where I bought it.
Yeah.
Because Campbell.
Okay. So Clan Campbell is a 40% ABV.
It's a blend.
And the color spelled with a U. What the heck is that?
No.
Apparently they use a Pantone code. I don't know. What is that?
Maybe.
I don't know.
E150A.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. So the color is E150A. I've just seen this information, folks. It is not my fault.
I would call that medium gold or light gold.
It is. Yeah. Well, all of them pretty much are that, but almost except for the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so first we're going to, the body should be light,
mm-hmm.
which means we can carry it and bury it in the garden. And the nose.
Along with the famous goose. I can't believe it.
Yeah, hey.
We haven't had anything to drink yet.
No, I know.
Already.
Not a drop have we had yet.
We're just enjoying life.
So guess what? It's going to get better. So our... And I really should put my glasses on because every time I look at this piece of paper, I think it says something. It doesn't.
Okay.
I thought it said light, fluffy, and grumpy. No, it says light, fruity, and I think I moved the glass. I think this is the right one. Light, fruity, and grainy, which I'm hoping doesn't mean it's going to be like gravelly. Very light fruit, apple and pear. Quite Abelauer or Abelur.
Abelauer.
What does quite Abelauer mean, Marla?
Well, I think he detected some Abelauer.
He
detected that the single malt that they use might be from Abelauer. I think that's what he's saying. Or just that it has a similar profile.
Okay. And let's see. So let's let us sniff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a little alcoholy.
It is alcoholy.
Which, you know, given that it's a...
Which I don't consider being light, but...
No.
But I do, I mean, I can detect some fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And grainy, we are assuming, means possibly malty. Yes.
Yeah, maybe. That's, maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll find out when we taste it, because the taste is also grainy.
Mm.
Okay.
And sharp. So the taste is grainy, sharp, then more smooth with apple and pear and building sour lemon.
The people who taste these things for a living are really... Well, I'm glad I don't have to make a living that way, obviously, but...
Imaginative?
Yeah.
Well, they got to come up with... But it is smooth. I find it incredibly smooth. Though it does make my tongue tingle.
The aroma is really light, though.
Mm-hmm.
as far as the fruit smells mm-hmm. and things like that. It's very mild.
Yeah, it's more alcoholic mm-hmm. smelling than anything else. I am not getting the sour lemon, nor the apple and pear, but you know me, my palate is not good. You and John, Marlis, mm-hmm. will have to determine if you can taste those other things.
Okay.
Could you?
Well, no. I think I get what he's getting at. You know, you'll taste some things and you immediately go to dark fruit, to raisin or cherries. And you certainly don't do that here. It is a much lighter. Mm-hmm. And whatever fruit there is in the light, you know, citrus. I can see some citrus in there. I can't identify sour lemon or...
Mm-mm.
Well, and one problem with this is since we have just wee small bottles, we have to be fairly economical in our tasting. So
that's true.
It's not like, you know, okay, take three swallows and kind of swish it around for a while, a little bit. You know, it's like, no, don't do that because...
Well, then we will get no other
I know,
swallows.
I know. Yeah, it's not bad for a blend.
No, and...
I don't, you know, it's not going to replace Dewar's for me.
This is where think there's some young Abelauer in there. So, yeah, so mm-hmm. the blend might include some Abelauer.
Mm-hmm.
The finish should be a short length and grainy spirit and lemon, very little vanilla
mm-hmm.
is the finish.
Yeah, I can.
I'd go along with that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm even getting the faintest hint of sourness. It's just, mm-hmm. it's... If you're not thinking about it, you probably wouldn't notice it. That's how faint it is.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot, though. It's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. All mm-hmm. right.
Okay.
John,
you get mm-hmm. Tom and Towel.
Okay. Tom and Towel.
And I have to say that the Tom and Towel, we had only 5 centiliters between the three of us, so we have a fairly small amount here. But...
Sip lightly.
Yes.
it says and they have the most voluminous notes. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Just
very good. Mm-hmm. Tom and Towel Distillery is a distillery of Kirkmichael between Ballindalloch and Tom and Towel in the Speyside region of Scotland, producing malt whiskey for blends and bottled as single malts. The distillery was founded in 1964. This is Tom and Towel 14-year.
Mm-hmm.
Official bottling was in 2019. It's non-chill filtered, 46% ABV. 50 pounds, I'm guessing it says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And wide availability. So I'm assuming that it's 50 pounds for a slightly larger bottle than you got.
Yes.
I'm hoping. Or you got taken.
Yeah.
That means it's like 1,000 pounds for a larger bottle.
Yeah, we have like little airplane bottles here. On the nose, it's floral and aromatic with digestive biscuits, vanilla, marzipan, grapefruit, orange rind. Green apples.
See, he can't read either.
No, I can't. And sour watermelon, hard-boiled sweets.
They're very specific.
Is that different from the taste of soft-boiled sweets? Boil your sweets?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's how long you boil the candy as to how solid it gets. You know, like if you're making fudge, if you don't boil it long enough, you just get kind of liquid ooze.
Mm.
And if you boil it too long, it gets...
Yum. Liquid ooze.
I know.
So anyway. Okay. Right. Apparently these are British sites or Scottish sites or something.
Yeah.
Yes, digestive biscuits.
The writer of this says, I get something akin to a sugar-coated donut, and there's barley sugars, golden syrup, red strawberry laces, strawberry gummy sweets, and pink candy floss. He's still talking about the nose.
It does smell good.
Oh, that's still the nose?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, voluminous notes
here.
He goes
on and on. Yeah.
I feel no floss on my nose.
No.
Pink candy floss. Let's hope there's no floss in your nose.
Mm-hmm. It does smell very different from the Glen Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting like...
I'm guessing Glen Campbell doesn't smell too good these days.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, God, sorry.
Okay,
We mean no disrespect.
No,
I know.
No.
All right.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little bit of cotton candy. I think that's...
John's trying valiantly to save us.
I'm trying to salvage it.
All right, all right. Okay, so.
Okay.
I get kind of a woodsy, mossy or something smell.
It smells sweet to me, but it's an undefined mm-hmm. sweetness. I smell no moss.
Yeah, he kind of ran the gamut with a whole bunch of sugary things in his description.
It smells like
it
sugar.
Yeah.
It would have been what I would write, but I tend to be a little pithy, so.
Yeah.
And it doesn't taste overly sweet, though, to me. I don't know.
I haven't gotten that far.
Oh, okay.
I can read the palate if you want.
Yes, read the palate.
It says, very sweet, with apples and cinnamon spice. Cloudy apple juice, pink peppercorns.
Wait, stop.
Fruit squash and barley sugars.
Stop.
Yeah, okay.
It tastes like cloudy apple juice.
Uh-huh.
Cloudy apple juice, comma.
I don't
know that overly
pink
refined
peppercorns,
stuff.
Comma. Yeah. Pink peppercorns.
Yeah.
I've never seen a pink peppercorn.
Well, I don't know that I've tasted cloudy apple juice. I would find it suspect. I guess if it's not...
not pasteurized.
Not pasteurized.
You know, so, yeah, like, if you actually smush an apple and get juice, it would be...
Why don't they just freaking say that?
I don't know.
They could.
Okay. Anyway.
But that would be more words. And he's already using a lot of words.
I know, yeah. It's pretty good,
but
though.
But you'd understand it.
I don't... You know, he goes on about how sweet it is. I don't find it... That's sweet.
It's a little sweet. It's not bourbon.
Yeah, it's heavier than Glencampbell. More fruity, I would guess.
Yeah, it's a little fruitier than Glencampbell.
I can see a little pepper in there. I don't know about what color the peppercorns are, but...
I know.
Apparently pink. To go along with the floss.
Maybe they're candy peps.
Remember candy cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I thought of that, too. And I was going to say, at least they don't taste like cigarettes. Like something.
I was bummed when they stopped me.
I like blowing in them, and all the sugar would come out the end like smoke.
I thought mine were solid.
No. They had a paper around it like it was a cigarette. You're older than me, Marla. Maybe they invented paper later.
We had primitive candy cigarettes.
They didn't.
Was it just like a long piece of candy?
Yeah.
Ours had
and pink on the end to indicate fire. Right?
Yeah, but it was. Look, it was the length of a cigarette, and it had like white paper around it, and it made it. And I think it might even had like what looked like a filter on the end or something.
Wow.
And if you, I don't know, this was a long time ago, you know, like 50 years ago or something.
They probably had the really good candy cigarettes because she's from Virginia.
Oh, that's true, tobacco country.
So that's tobacco.
So, but if you blew the. It would, the sugar that coated the outside, it might have even been like pink bubble gum or something, you know. And if you blew into it, the sugar stuff would come out the end and look like smoke. I mean, it was like a one-off. You could only do it once. You didn't do it every time. That would have been a heck of a lot of powdered sugar. Write in to funwithscotch@gmail.com if you've ever had that experience. I really want to know that I'm not making it up in my head.
Yeah, tell us about your candy cigarettes.
Because that's what we're about.
I know.
That's our next podcast.
Okay.
Candy cigarettes.
Do we want to talk about the finish, or is there?
Is there a finish?
Over here somewhere, yes. Palette.
The dregs?
Honeycomb on the finish.
Okay.
Water rounds things out, but adds more sourness and chili spice. We're not doing water right now anyway.
Yeah.
And we can't with this one. There's not enough.
Okay, and then I think this is the finish, talking about the dregs.
Oh, the dregs.
Which I think is kind of a rude way of referring to it. But.
Page 2, the dregs. While there's no cask information on the Tom and Towel 14 label, I'd say this must have been plonked into bourbon wood for the majority, if not all, of its maturation. However, I find this particular whiskey just too sweet for my palate. As someone with a sweet tooth and a penchant for all things bourbon matured, this is a puzzler and something I've struggled to get my head and taste buds around as the bottle's gone down.
End quote. But yeah, I can see that this would be too sweet for a person who is like a down, you know, hard. I don't
hard
know.
PD drinker.
Somebody who likes bourbon, you know, yeah. This doesn't strike me as being anything like bourbon.
Well, no, it's not like bourbon. But I'm saying if you're a hardcore Scotch drinker, this would be too sweet for you. If you're not somebody who even likes bourbon, then this would be too sweet. He likes bourbon, things that are bourbon finished, but this is too sweet for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it, but I also like bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Some bourbon.
You drink it all. Now we can't do...
I didn't. I left just the microscopic taste.
Okay.
No, there's not enough to do water. There really... Okay. Don't do that stuff. It's enough.
We still need to do this.
Yeah, we have a third one.
Yes, we have a third one.
Somewhere.
The third one is Blair Athol. Now, there are some interesting things here. This is one of the distilleries I actually went to. And it's a beautiful distillery. And they vent their CO2 from their fermentation tanks. And it grows the most luxurious ivy on the buildings that you have ever seen. You know what I mean? It's just like feet thick, you know, ivy all over the place. It's beautiful. But one of the things that the guide told us as we did the tour was that most of the Blair Athol production, and they're not a huge distillery, you know, but most of the production goes to other distillers for blends and that sort of thing. But they do keep a small amount to issue as their own single malt. Now, she seemed to indicate that it was fairly rare and that you couldn't find it outside of Scotland and not even all the places within Scotland, you know, and we're like, oh, wow, so rare. You know, on the other hand, you know, what I was seeing in the, reviews and everything was like, yeah, you can get this by mail. And I'm like, well, okay. Maybe if you live in Scotland, I don't know.
Sometimes some things you can get from, well, it used to be. Now the tariffs are probably too high.
Yeah, it could be. But it's located in the foothills of the Grampians on the south edge of Pitlochry. And my friend Mary and I stayed in Pitlochry, and we walked to the Blair Athol Distillery. And we took the bus home because that was uphill. And I have two arthritic knees that were not happy with me. But, I mean, it was just a beautiful distillery. It's beautiful countryside. And they said it is used, one of the blends that it's used in is Bell's, which is a really basic blended whiskey in Scotland. It's what I first learned to drink when I was there.
Mm. You know? Well, in college.
Yeah, cheap whiskey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anyway, it's a lovely place. They have an otter on the label, and it's because the stream where they get their water, the burn, Scottish term there. Sorry. Okay, is called Alt Dŵr, and Dŵr evidently means otter. So evidently there are otters, or were otters. But so it is a darker reddish gold, and on the nose you should have apple, toffee, vanilla, angelica. I have no idea what angelica smells like. It's a thing that they put in fruitcake that I really don't like. But saffron, baked apples, peaches, lily, I
don't know.
Buttery toast, brandy-soaked raisins. Well, let's see.
Lilies make my eyes burn.
Oh, it smells good.
Yeah.
See, I'm like, that smells good.
That's yeah, good. It's mm-hmm. got a little bit of dark fruit smell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so on the nose, I can certainly get the kind of toffee, vanilla, brandy-soaked raisins, that sort of thing. And it is a very kind of warm and embracing smell. I can see the feeling of buttery toast without actually smelling buttery toast. I like buttery toast.
I guess you could say, you know, because when you said the about the raisins, it's also the dark cherries.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay, now let's do some tasting. Oh, that's nummy. This is their 12 year.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say anything about what it's...
Yeah, that is good.
Okay, it doesn't say if it was finished in a sherry cask, but it has that feel.
It makes me think it was, yeah, just from the flavor.
Yeah, and I know they certainly do that at the distilleries, so. But if you're ever in Pitlochry, go to the Blair Athol Distillery. It is truly lovely, and they have a lovely bar. They've taken an old mash tun, one of the big things that they first, you know, put the ground or the malted barley in with water to make the first floopy stuff. And it's used that as their bar. It's a lovely,
nice.
Lovely place. Oh, that's neat. Yeah.
Mm. Now, the notes say in the mouth, there should be fresh apples, bitter orange, toffee, apple peelings. Not something I eat a lot. Stewed apple, sour apple. There are apples in here. I think we can agree.
I think that's the point. Yeah, there are some apples.
All and variations.
Homemade digestive biscuits as opposed to store-bought.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes, well, that's important.
And
butterscotch, marzipan. Very smooth and gentle, but welcome warming sensation. Pear frangipani tart. dressed with toasted flaked almond. I think they've just gone a little bit overboard here. You know, it's like it tastes really good, and you can taste some dark fruit, and there's some sweetness and vanilla and, you know, toffee and caramel, that kind of thing. I think that's probably about what you need to know. Yeah.
Yeah, I could even go a bit of apple, but, you know, not 14 different kinds of apple components.
I'm pretty sure I would not taste those individual types.
I wouldn't,
I probably wouldn't even taste one of them.
So the conclusion, and I can't remember where I got this review, but the conclusion is that it's very smooth and approachable. I doubt that many would fail to find this whiskey palatable. And indeed, I do find it palatable.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, now we're going to be very cautiously adding bits of water to our tiny bits of scotch.
Okay. You may have lost it.
Oh, I did.
Too much.
Too much?
Maybe.
How was that too much?
It was more than a drop. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There.
Perfect.
I just don't even...
This is harder than you might think. To put teeny little bits of water in something.
You know, there, John. A quarter of an ounce of whiskey in our glasses here, or whatever we have left.
I don't think I got enough water in any of them to do anything, but...
Suspense is killing me. I know.
Good enough.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Okay, should have gotten...
Especially this one here in the middle. I didn't save very much of that one at all.
Okay, so the Clan Campbell.
Well, I don't know if it was the microscopic drop of water I put in there, but I feel like it may have just opened up the aroma.
It's not as burny or as alcohol-y, even with a little bit of water. So, and again, this is a blend... Put that on some ice.
This is the one that talked about it being grainy. I can I can smell a grain aroma. Now I couldn't at first.
Okay,
it's almost like toast. Either that or I'm having a stroke.
Okay,
and I don't think I am.
No,
you look
okay.
Fine.
Thank you. I still almost have my faculty. I have all my faculties.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Stop that. Now she's just messing with us. All right, the Tommen Tool with the itty bit of water. And that's the one that we have the ittiest bit of. It smells different. It smells much sweeter to me now.
It smelled sweet to me before.
It smells like brown sugar.
Yeah, that is definitely what it smells like.
Yeah, it's a darker sugar. It's not it's not like a fruit smell. It's like you say, it's more like brown sugar.
It still has a distinctive taste. This one would probably stand up to an ice cube if you wanted, or a little bit of water without.
And it still burns your tongue. That's the one that's 46%, right?
Yes. Yeah. This is the highest ABV of the three.
It's got some spice to it, too.
It does have.
That's nice.
It's got some old spice.
Well.
But we don't know how old the spices are.
Oh, that's true.
True.
I don't know what the aftershave tastes like either, so that's good.
Yeah. So, something. That's a new episode.
No. Or a new podcast, The Tasting of Men's Cologne.
No. Okay, so now the Blair Athol. This is the 12 year. A little bit of water. Still smells good, but I thought it smelled good before. So.
Yeah, I don't detect anything really different.
Well, I mean, as careful as I was on how much water I put in, it seems to have diluted it a little bit. I don't know that. This one it would probably be better on its own, or if you have a fair amount of it, an ice cube.
I feel like a lot of the sweetness is gone. I didn't put much. It truly was a microscopic drop of water.
I know.
It was crazy.
This is going to be a continuing problem in our wee small bottle series here, in that several of them.
The aroma is reminding me of maple syrup right now.
Oh. I love maple syrup. Yeah, I can see that.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Did you see the meme of the next time you're slagging off corn syrup, just remember all the farmers who are tapping each individual stalk and have little tiny pails and attached to each stalk. I was just like, oh my God. Sorry. I digress.
I was trying to think of a...
Yeah.
amusing thing to say. I'm basically got nothing.
I know. There's some things where
I was going to say something like, nah, they just burn them fuckers down. But,
yeah. Which is probably what they do.
On the subject of corn, I heard today that there are, I guess, the between the warming trend that we're having and the enormity of the amount of corn in the Midwest and the East, I guess there's what they call corn sweat, which is actually raising the humidity level by up to 10%
in the Midwest.
That's what they need in the Midwest.
One of the things that they were concerned about was that the corn sweat. It's releasing moisture into the air.
Well, I guess they need to create a corn deodorant for them. So
yeah, I don't think it was the odor, but yeah.
I'll have an antiperspirant.
There you go. That's it.
So they don't sweat.
Spray the corn with aluminum chlorohydrate or whatever.
Yeah, that'll help. I know. Yeah,
it'd be horrible for the people and the animals eating it, but
Anyway.
That was very interesting. Yeah. I found that interesting.
Well, and they found that, like, you know, in cities like Phoenix, where at least in some areas they try and grow grass and have, you know, golf courses and stuff like that, they have raised the humidity level in that valley considerably from what it...
Because God knows you just can't live without a lawn.
I know. I don't get that.
I guess for golf courses I kind of get it, but don't they just do sand golf?
There you go.
Could just be one giant...
One big sand trap.
Sand trap, yeah.
Adds a level of difficulty.
It really would.
Oh, and if they had some of those worms from Dune?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Then golf would be interesting.
Talk about raising the difficulty level.
I know.
That's right, yeah.
I know.
And the more
three par
and lowering the mortality rate.
You know, it would be, each hole would be different.
And another golfer's consumed by worms.
I know, yeah.
That brings the death toll to...
Yeah. Okay, that's a little grim humor, but still.
Well, did you hear that Godzilla knocked over a bridge here in Washington today?
No.
Yeah, there was a... I do ham radio, and there's an emergency... it's called Ares... good grief. Amateur Radio Emergency Services here in Thurston County, Washington. And they were running a drill today, and, you know, they spread out and go to different locations, and they test their radio equipment and different communications methods. And somebody came up with the idea that today's theme for the drill would be that there was an enormous earthquake off the coast, and between the earthquake and tidal movements and stuff, that Godzilla has risen from the ocean and moved inland toward Olympia and was moving southward down Interstate 5 and was destroying things along the way.
Interesting.
And they used that as a...
probably why there's a 90-minute backup down towards Portland.
I-5, yeah. Wow.
It could be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
But, that was how they... That was their theme.
I do not like that highway between
here and Portland. Testing things today, yeah.
I have had weird things happen to me. Things have flown off trucks and... you know, landed on the road in front of me. Things have, we hit one of those times here in the Northwest where it's very humid, and also in the summer, you know, it can be quite sunny. You get these times where you get mist and fog and then blinding sunlight, and it creates enough of a glare on the mist and fog that you are basically blind. Now, fortunately, we were going the other way, coming north. But the people going south, we heard like 3 collisions in like 5 minutes.
Wow.
Because people were all of a sudden like, I can't see.
And they'd
slow
down really quick.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you definitely don't want to be driving here. I don't recall having this problem in Virginia, but driving east, you don't want to be doing that in the morning. This morning when I was going to meet for coffee, I could not see... going down 18th, I was like, there's a stoplight. I can't see it.
I know.
And in the afternoon, you know, you don't want to go west.
Uh-huh.
If it's not a cloudy day, that's the plus of having probably
many
clouds most of the year is that you don't have to worry about that. But this time of year, you're blind in the morning and in the afternoon, depending on which way you're going. But it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So
Godzilla He's probably been taken care of by now.
I imagine so, yeah. I'm sure they've...
I was thinking, did these people not hear about War of the Worlds? But anyway.
Well, they did keep announcing that this is just a drill, you know. Which, you know, yeah, okay. Some people might actually take them seriously.
You never know. I know.
My first thought was, well, this is either a drill or he's insane. Yeah, I don't know which.
Could be either.
I was listening
okay.
to it.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're going to wrap this up now.
Yeah, we're going to go take Glenn Campbell and put him where he belongs. And
anyway, we still have some Blair Athol and Glenn Campbell to drink with our dinner. And I've got a nice Dewar's finished in a port wine cask.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
So nice. we still have things to entertain us. That's the problem with the little tiny bottles is that, like, they're gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
Very quickly.
Yeah. So, thank you all for joining us, and go to Scotland and find lovely things and then tell us about it.
That you can't buy when you get home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to buy things that we couldn't get here. But, of course, I was going by memory, so God only knows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, thank you.